When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Oh, the Brooklyn Nets get the win, and the Pistons fall short once again. 118 to 112 is our final.
I don't know how you can spin that positively. Maybe that it was a six-point loss, but it was the 27th straight loss for the Detroit Pistons. 97 won the ticket in Detroit on the call. Courtney Cronin, Mike Rothstein with you here on Unsportsmanlike, sitting in for Evan Canty and Michelle on this historic Wednesday morning. We're talking about losing streaks. We sang karaoke, which if you're going to listen to the podcast version of Unsportsmanlike, whether you get that at Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, we can't put the music into the podcast. There's licensing issues with that. So if you hear us, it might sound a little bit rough without that music bed of Neil Diamond playing underneath it, but we appreciate you listening nonetheless.
Yeah, otherwise it would have sounded
a little rough.
It would have sounded great because there would have been music that we were singing too, and sometimes that just masks the awfulness of our voices, right?
I don't think anything was masking that.
Okay, no, well, you guys are all poor sports.
I mean, we destroyed our producer, Pat, who, again, refused to sing, but we also, I think we broke his brain.
Yeah, well, it was probably already broken to begin with. You know what else was already broken before last night? The Detroit Pistons' will to win a basketball game. They drop to 2-28 on the season. They have a losing streak that is of historic proportions in a single season. Tomorrow night, when they play at the Boston Celtics, I guess I would say they're going for the overall record, or to tie the overall record, which is 28 straight losses. The Philadelphia 76ers, right as they were beginning the process, they had a losing streak that spanned from the 2014-15 season into the 15-16 season. Those were, of course, the early years of Joel Embiid when he was injured for the first two seasons of his career. But history once again on the line for this Detroit Pistons team. I want you to hear what it sounded like inside of the arena last night. This was a night that Cade Cunningham dropped 41 points on 15 of 21 shooting, and they still lost. Bally Sports Detroit had this going on in the background. You can hear it as clear as day. Hit it.
There's Cade. Yeah, it looks like Bridges flicked it. And redirected it, and I don't know if Cade last touched it or not, but that's a big, big loss of possession.
Sell the team. I'm like, I'm chanting with them, and I'm not a Pistons
say,
Courtney, fan.
You,
I have no vested interest in
this. You have become a Pistons fan. Javonte has rubbed off on you.
Oh, man. It's so unfortunate that this is the spot that the Detroit Pistons find themselves in when there's finally some goodwill in the city of Detroit, because the Lions just locked up the NFC North. They're going to the playoffs first time since the 2016 season, but obviously a much different team and much different feel around this Lions team. But it stinks that you can't have two things happening simultaneously, where the Pistons are so bad, and then the Lions are where they are. I feel for Detroit fans in a city that, when those teams are good, granted, not having them all at once seems to be a common theme, but that's a great, Mike, you know this, you were there a long time, that's a great sports city. It really is. Even when the teams are losing, people are still at those games. You got to give Pistons fans, or the masochists is what we'll call them, for going to that game. You got to give them credit for at least showing up.
That you do, and they are among the most loyal fans in sports, Detroit sports fans, without question. I mean, when I covered the Lions for 8 seasons, it was rough. They had 3 winning seasons of those 8. They reached over 10 wins once, and that was in 2014. And it was bad. But you know what? Ford Field, more often than not, even in like the nadir of the Matt Patricia era, they still showed up. They were still there. They were still, in a lot of ways, hopeful. Now, Lions fans are not Pistons fans, because there's more history with the Lions, of course, than with the Detroit Pistons, originally the Fort Wayne Pistons. But there is still some level of intrigue and interest there. I was the one who started the, like, Detroit can't have more than one nice thing at once mm-hmm. thing this morning, Courtney, but I will backtrack a little bit because Michigan, of course, is in the college football playoff. We're going to talk a bit about Michigan in about 10 minutes or so. But the Wings are coming back. They went through a mini rebuild, and they're right now they would be, I believe, hanging around the playoff picture, potentially. Depending on how that would shake out, they're certainly not out of it, which is good for them. They are, about, looks like, 3 points out. So they're definitely in the playoff picture, which would be good for the city as well. But the Pistons, they might be eliminated from the playoff picture before the NHL All-Star game.
Isn't that crazy? Before their own All-Star game February, which is...
Well, the NHL All-Star game's first.
Yeah, I mean, that is a good point. But compared to their own season, the halfway point is February, right around Valentine's Day. They could be out of this in January. And I was looking up their schedule earlier, just trying to find a win for them coming up. So December 30th, they play the Raptors. They're 11-18, so maybe it's that one. Feels like their best bet's probably against the San Antonio Spurs. Like, they're speaking of a young team, we talk about Cade Cunningham, Jaden Ivey, the group that Monty Williams is trying to lead out of this losing streak. San Antonio is the youngest team in the league. Of course, they've got Victor Wembanyama. They may have 34 losses, though, Detroit, by the time that they end up hosting the Spurs on January 10th. And then... the Wizards come to town. I mean, they stink. They're 5-24. So maybe well, all of a sudden January sparks some sort of life into this team. But it's for a group that has gone through rebuild after rebuild, so it seems, every couple of years. And then they fire Dwayne Casey. They bring in Monty Williams. 6 years, over $78 million on that contract. This is not just on players not executing. This is Monty Williams, like, as responsible as anybody else for them being in this hole that they keep digging.
Yeah, I mean, there's just a failure for him to connect with these young players. That's what it comes down to as much as anything. Because the talent, this is going to sound wild, Courtney, but the young talent, and Tom Gores, their Pistons owner, even kind of hinted at this, the young talent is there. Mm-hmm. They have a star in Cade Cunningham that nobody knows really. Unless you paid attention to college ball, because he's playing in Detroit. Isaiah Stewart
and he
can
was
play.
Injured too.
Right, he was injured also. But again, he's on a two-win team like that. You're not going to get much attention on a two-win team. We're not talking much about Wemby right now either, because the Spurs are really bad. So that's part of it. But there's other players, guys in that rotation that you say, okay, they could be good. And then they have a guy who I don't understand why they don't use more in James Wiseman that you think would be used more. By the way, we were talking about the playoff situation. They are right now 11 and a half games out of the last play-in spot. It is December 27th.
Plus 50,000 to win the Larry O'Brien Trophy this year. Thank you again for that stat, Pat. It is it's making my morning. You hinted at this, though, Mike, what Tom Gores had to say, and I want to listen to this. He came across almost as delusional when he was delivering a message to Pistons fans to remain patient, to not think that this is the end of the world because of the way the team's constructed. But his logic that he had in this Bally Sports Detroit interview doesn't make a lot of sense.
We have a good core. We have a good foundation. We have all these young players, and we have flexibility. So we have to not panic and do the right thing, execute, and have urgency. So that's our balance. We have to thread the needle to create urgency, create change, because we're not where we need to be. But don't ruin the ship, the boat here. It's pretty good.
Could that change? Maybe I'm crazy here, but could that change be trading Cade Cunningham? Like, it does not. I know he's talking about, but like, he's talking about threading the needle. Like, at some point, you've got to say, okay, this is a wash for this team right now. Like, pack it up and start thinking about the 2024-25 season, which is so wild to think about because it is December 27th. I don't see a turnaround in sight. Nobody's given us a realistic path to getting there other than saging Little Caesars Arena, which I don't know
that's
if that's
your idea.
That's my idea.
You and the pizza.
Because nobody else has come up with a plan to get them out of this rut. Like, why waste – this prime of Cade Cunningham, the early part of his career where he's finally healthy, when you have a guy who's dropping 41 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists last night, and it's not enough. He had 37 points in the second half. He did his job by the trade deadline in February. If they're still in this spot, which it feels like it's almost a lock that they will be, why wouldn't you try to move some assets to start thinking about the direction that you go next offseason? And maybe that's a direction change within the front office by the players that you're picking and bringing in here. They've got a talented core right now, but that core is going to be another year older in the 2024-25 season. At some point, when things are this bad, you've got to think about like a massive reboot and pulling the plug out from what you have currently. Even though for Pistons fans, I know that's probably uncomfortable because it feels like they've gone through this quite a bit within the last decade.
Well, Tim, that doesn't compute in terms of trading Cade Cunningham. You have him under contract for next season. He's a restricted free agent after next season. So you can match that. And if you're the Pistons, why wouldn't you unless he comes in and demands a trade? Sure, you'll get assets, but all you're doing is starting over again. And at some point, you need to have someone to build around, something to build around. Cade Cunningham looks like he can be a star, but what's he supposed to do when he doesn't have a ton around him? It's clearly not working with the head coach. Like, I'm not, Courtney, to go back to Tom Gores for a second, I'm not somebody that advocates the whole selling the team thing, what the fans were talking about. Mm-hmm. But since Tom Gores has taken over, this has not been a good franchise.
Because he doesn't
at all
care.
I mean, this is a franchise that mortgaged to get Blake Griffin, right? And that was essentially to get a name in some ways. Now, Blake could still play a little bit, but he couldn't stay healthy.
Yeah,
and
that was
the end,
a
it was
much
really
different part
watch.
Of his career. That wasn't Clippers
right.
Blake Griffin. That
he
was...
could still, yeah, he could still play, but he wasn't Blake Griffin, like the all-star, the potential Hall of Famer. He was Blake Griffin, a guy who, when he was healthy, was still good, but mm-hmm. not great. But you did that in some ways to get excitement around the team. And it put them in a spot where it delayed a reboot for a couple of years because you were just good enough to be like the 8th seed. This is before mm-hmm. the play-in tournament. Like, and that was really, in some ways, Tom Gore is trying to, you know, get some ROI, and then you decide to blow it up. You bring in Dwayne Casey. You're committed to this thing, and then you move on from Dwayne Casey, and you bring in a guy who's a much better coach to deal with veterans mm-hmm. than a young team on a young team. It just, I don't know what to make of it. I don't know what to do, but if you really want to shake things up, maybe you look at, you know, starting all the way at the top.
And that would require the absent owner caring about this team. You heard that delusional statement that he made pleading with fans to not panic. How can you not possibly panic if you're a Pistons fan, if you're still out there, a
you
fan
can just
of this
give up,
team?
I guess.
I mean, yeah, you can give up on your team, but like the reason I don't think the Pistons would ever go for trading Cade Cunningham, but a team like the San Antonio Spurs right now when you're trying to build around Victor Wembanyama, Cade Cunningham has no shooters around him. At least when he gets to, if he were to get down to San Antonio, he'd be on a team that would be doing right by him and his future, something that the Detroit Pistons cannot say the same for. We'll leave it here. Alabama, Michigan, Texas, and Washington. Those are the four teams in the college football playoff. We are just days away from the semifinals happening on New Year's Day. Who's going to walk away the champion in college football this year? We discuss next here on Unsportsmanlike, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who have experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/unsportsmanlike. unsportsmanlike.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Michigan and Alabama, the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all.
Michigan's been here before. They have not won this. Alabama's been here before. They have won this.
You're going to have probably the two teams that people love to hate the most.
This is why you come to Michigan.
They've only had their head coach for what, like four games this year?
He's missed six. All year long, everybody has said what this Alabama team was not. And all they've done is continue to win, continue to stick together.
Touchdown, Bama.
For me, it's all about bragging rights. The Big Ten, the SEC.
1 week from right now, we will have the results of the CFP semifinals. We'll be gearing up for the national championship, which takes place a week from this coming Monday, so on January 8th. It's on Sportsmanlike, ESPN Radio, ESPN app. Courtney Cronin, Mike Rothstein, pleased to welcome in Paul Feinbaum, who joins us courtesy of Dr. Pepper. It's not college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the one that fans deserve. And as we size up these matchups, Paul, in starting with the CFP semifinal at the Rose Bowl game presented by Prudential, it's a mouthful, Alabama and Michigan, if Jalen Milroe, the version that we saw the month of November going into that SEC championship game, if you get that version of him after these couple weeks off, can Michigan stop him, or is that going to be too much to contain?
I don't think they can stop that version. And now I think the ultimate question in this game is, you know, will that same Jalen Milroe still be active and running? Because you know, he was very streaky at the beginning of the year. Everyone knows that story. But he was spectacular down the stretch, especially in the game that mattered most, the Georgia game. So I think that would be really an impossible task for what I think we all agree is probably the best defense in the country now. If we get any version other than that, then Michigan is in very good shape in this game.
Paul, flipping that to the Michigan side of things, obviously there's been so much conversation around Michigan and a lot of things off the field and on the field that turned into off-field stuff with Jim Harbaugh. Is there any concern that some of this could end up being distraction for them, especially since there's, again, conversations about Harbaugh and the NFL and a new contract and all that?
I think it's a very legitimate question, but considering this season began in turmoil, it ended in turmoil in terms of the regular season, I don't see how any of this really matters to this program right now. They played six games without the head coach and really perhaps the most important game of the year. So, I mean, they almost seem impenetrable when it comes to Harbaugh. You always wonder, though, when you have 3 weeks off, you just don't know what happens, especially nowadays when there are so many added distractions to players with NIL and the portal and all these things that don't matter as much to these two schools because of the setting they're in next Monday. But I think Michigan is perfectly fine with this controversy. I mean, they're built for it.
I was going to say, is it almost possible that they maybe are more comfortable in perceived chaos at this point than if everything was fine and nothing was going on?
Well, after all, and you remember Jim Harbaugh made this declaration about 8 weeks ago that they are America's team. So whatever that means in relation to the current state of America, which I've always had a varying degree in my basic seventh grade civics, but I think that's a fair point. This team likes the attacks on them. I think they thrive on it. Harbaugh is built like that. He is not a status quo person. It's truly amazing when you consider all the things that many of us don't like about Jim Harbaugh. What I do like is the fact that he has done it really in the old-fashioned way 3 years in a row. That's hard to do to be in the playoffs 3 years in a row and to be in this position. Especially doing it unconventionally. And there's no way you can look at 2 weeks ago at the national or last week at the national signing day and and say Michigan looks like Alabama or Georgia or even Ohio State, the team that they have vanquished 3 years in a row.
Paul Feinbaum, host of the Paul Feinbaum Show, weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern time on SEC Network and also on the ESPN app, joining us here on Unsportsmanlike. And there was a point in this season, early on, for Nick Saban, where there were people willing to maybe think that this was the end for him, that this would be his last season coaching the Alabama Crimson Tide, maybe his last season coaching college football. Of course, after that Texas loss, this was a different Alabama team that works its way into the SEC championship and wins the conference this year. Watching this team as closely as you have, what do you think, aside from that Texas game, was there a turning point here that sparked this run that they went on?
Well, what's amazing is that a week after the Texas game, which was on September 9th in Tuscaloosa, Alabama actually reached low ebb of the entire Nick Saban tenure. And you know, we're talking about six national championships at Alabama. He won one at LSU. He's lost three other times in the title game. So, I mean, we're talking about something never before seen. And it was against South Florida when Jalen Milroe did not play in the game. Mm-hmm. Nobody really knew what in the world was going on. The reports were that he had had a bad attitude, which I could understand, and he was benched. The narrative changed after that. If you went to Tuscaloosa today and asked 100 Alabama fans, they would all tell you Nick Saban did this by design. He didn't, by the way. He simply was trying to figure out why his quarterback play was so bad, and he got down to the third-team quarterback. But ultimately, the next game, which was, I believe, against Ole Miss, Milroe was back. He wasn't great, but he was the only choice. Remember, Tyler Buckner came over from Notre Dame with Tommy Rees. They had a freshman, Ty Simpson. Milroe became the starting quarterback again, and that's really the turning point. But, you know, for anyone who says that they thought this team could survive that moment, they're wrong. I mean, I was right there every moment of this Alabama season. It looked over. You really couldn't get odds that Alabama would be playing in the Rose Bowl or the Sugar Bowl on January 1st. And, you know, to Nick Saban's credit, what really happened was that they survived. They had at least six games after that, the next week against Ole Miss, they had against Tennessee and LSU and Texas A&M and Auburn, and ultimately against Georgia, where they really were tested to the crucible. And you know, the history of this team is well known. I mean, they were a 99.9% chance of losing to Auburn, and they pulled the miracle out. They had other moments where they were down 14-17. I've never seen a Nick Saban team look this average, but also be this resilient.
We're talking to Paul Feinbaum, host of the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN. And, Paul, I want to look at the other college football playoff semifinal, the All-State Sugar Bowl, Texas-Washington. Maybe not as much attention getting paid to this game because you have kind of the marquee names in Alabama and Michigan in that first game. But when you look at what Washington has done this year, the fact that they've won all of these close games – it would feel like that might be a benefit in this scenario if it ends up being tight.
I think it should. And again, how they survived the first Oregon game, I'm still not really sure because they were completely outplayed. And I think most people watching thought Oregon was the better team. But they kept, you know, they're a little bit like Alabama. It doesn't hurt that Michael Penix Jr. is the quarterback and they have a really good line and a coach that isn't particularly well known, but has certainly emerged among the elite coaches in college football. On the other side, I mean, Texas at times during the season was very beatable. I mean, they were down to their last gasp a few times too. But even in the one loss against Oklahoma, which is a good team, by no means elite, they were able to bounce back. And what they always had though was that Alabama win in their back pocket. And that's how they got in the playoffs. And that's really why I think they're a little bit better than Washington, although you were splitting hairs here. But, you know, Ewers has always been that quarterback that when he plays at the highest level, he can lead that team, put them on his back. You know, pick your cliche They lost their running back early in the year, which I think hurts them a little bit. But overall, Texas looks a hair better than Washington in the Sugar Bowl.
Hey, Paul, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
It was my pleasure, guys. Thank you.
That's Paul Feinbaum, host of the Paul Feinbaum Show, weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern time on the SEC Network and over on the ESPN app. Kalen DeBoer, as he had mentioned, maybe still a relatively unknown head coach, at least to the in a national perspective, but he did just win the Eddie Robinson Coach of the Year award for what he did, getting Washington its most wins in school history, the Pac-12 championship, and into the college football playoff. They will be facing Washington, Texas against Washington, CFP semifinal game, All-State Sugar Bowl. It's January 1st, 8:45 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. And before that, you've got the CFP semifinal at the Rose Bowl presented by Prudential, January 1st, 5 p.m. Eastern time. You can hear that right here on ESPN Radio and then go watch it over on ESPN. It's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app, as always presented by Progressive Insurance. Straight ahead, switching gears into the NFL. Did Justin Fields get a fair chance in Chicago? Mike and I discuss next after he has this from O'Reilly.
Did you know 1 in 4 car batteries is weak and needs to be replaced? O'Reilly Auto Parts will test your battery free of charge. If your battery needs to be replaced, their professional parts people can help you find the best SuperStart battery for your vehicle and budget. Make sure your vehicle is ready for the weather ahead by getting your battery tested for free at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. This is Unsportsmanlike with Chris Canty, Evan Cohen, and Michelle Smallman. Unsportsmanlike. Michelle Smallman.
Reading is cool, Evan.
Chris Canty.
If you're reading at least one book a month, isn't that a sign of elitism?
Evan Cohen.
I thought Catcher in the Rye was a baseball book.
Did Canty say it's a sign of being an elitist? Is that, yeah. Did I hear that correctly? If you read one book a month?
I try to read one a week, Courtney. I guess I'm the elite of the
elite. Yeah, I'm about to say, you're like the ultra elitist here.
Yeah, sorry, Canty.
You read a book a week?
I try to.
Who has the time to do? How fast of a reader are you? Like,
I can be a pretty quick reader. It ends up being probably one book every 2 weeks. But in the off season, I'll read a book a week for sure.
You yelled at me about not having a microwave because you didn't have any time to spend, but you read a book a week. Got it.
Are you an audiobooks guy? I have
a microwave, Pat. You're the one without a microwave.
Yeah, I'm saying you said you needed the microwave for convenience because you didn't have a lot of time on your hands, but now you're just sitting around reading full-blown books for...
He's choosing to educate himself.
I'm choosing education over cooking, yeah.
Are you an audiobooks guy, Mike?
Because of our friend Sarah Barshop, who covers the Rams for us here at ESPN, I've become more of an audiobook person. Mm-hmm. I'm doing more nonfiction audiobook, fiction, regular book now with the occasional fiction book in there. I do post every year on January 1st or 2nd the books I've read the prior year as book lists. So, you know, hopefully that will help. I know, Courtney, you started a book club.
No, I didn't start a book club. Some people say I have been involved in a pyramid scheme. Do you remember, by the way, it's on Sportsmanlike, Courtney Cron, and that's Mike Rothstein. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Yeah, all right.
She was creating a book pyramid.
No, I didn't create this. I just willingly participated in this. Do you remember about a month ago, right around Thanksgiving, there was this like post on Instagram that people were sharing on their stories about how it's like, if anybody's interested in joining a book club, message me for details. Like, you could get up to like 36 books if this thing got passed around the right number of times.
And, oh, I saw you posting about this.
Yes. And I was like, okay, like this sounds like a fine idea. Like, I'd like to get some books. And actually, I'm in my living room right now. One, two, three. I had 6 books total from this thing. So, but like somebody who works for the Bears asked me in the media room one day, like, is this like the Ray-Bans thing? Did you get hacked? Do you guys remember the Ray-Bans pyramid scheme during COVID? Yeah. Okay, I wasn't familiar with it at the time, but apparently it was like you could eventually get free Ray-Bans by sharing some posts. And it's basically like you buy something, you give money to somebody, and then they give that money to somebody else. Like, it was basically how this book thing worked. So it wasn't a book club. It was you share this post, then you get somebody's information sent to you. You then, like, put their information at the top, yours is at the bottom, and it's supposed to, like, share in succession based on who gets your information, then you pass on their information, the next person, so on and so forth. So I ended up with Viola Davis's, her memoir, this book called Midnight Library. I'm looking at it over
there. It's a great book. It's in my bookshelf. You can see it right up there.
What is this other one? Like The Nightingale, which apparently is a very popular historical fiction book. There are 2 more over there. There's one that was like the genre is like the absurdism, kind of like Albert Camus, which was the book that I gave. Albert Camus is The Stranger, which was one of my favorite books I read in college. But yeah, I guess I didn't realize it was kind of a pyramid scheme. So hopefully I don't... I don't think I've committed any crimes here. It's not like a Ponzi scheme by any stretch. I didn't, you know, corrupt anybody or, you know, take money from people. But I do have a couple of new books. I will not read one a week, Mike. I'm a slow reader. That's probably fine. Not too shocking, but it takes me a while to consume and to, like, sit down and be able to actually parse through a book. But I will make it a goal to, I always make it a goal to read more the next year, and I don't really do resolutions, but I just have like goals for myself. So that will be on my 2024 goal list. Once, who knows? Who knows what my week 18 is going to bring? Is it going to bring a coach firing? And if that happens, is that an inevitability that the Chicago Bears, a team that I cover for ESPN's NFL Nation, are moving on from Justin Fields? Like, that is the big question that we've been talking about for months and months and months. And there's 2 games remaining this season. He's coming off a dual threat performance that saw him pass for 170 yards, rush for nearly 100 against the Arizona Cardinals in a win for the Bears. And those numbers are not to the liking of some people. But Fields had this to say when he was asked about his stat line and whether he's okay hovering around these figures as long as his team gets a win.
I mean, I'm cool with whatever as long as we win a game, to be honest with you. So, shoot, if I have 100 passing yards with 0 touchdowns, 0 thing, and we get the win, I'm cool with that. I know people love stats, and it's like, he only did da 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 da. Like, I don't care. We won the game. So, yeah, as long as we win, I'm not really a numbers guy. All I know is one went up in the win column today, so, and that's all I care about.
He hasn't had that many 300-plus yard passing games, and that's how the question, I was in that room when it was asked. That's how it was phrased to him. Like, if you hover around 200 yards passing, 100 yards rushing, is that a sustainable way to win games going forward? He very clearly has something that very few quarterbacks outside of Lamar Jackson can demonstrate on a regular basis, which is the dynamic playmaking ability with your legs. So why wouldn't you tap into that? Like, if you have an offense that doesn't have that skill set built in or something that will placate to that skill set built into your scheme, then you're misusing Justin Fields. But the question that the Bears have to answer as far as what they do at the quarterback spot next year is thinking, is that skill set worth keeping him around, passing up drafting Caleb Williams and building around Justin Fields, knowing that you might not get those big 300, 400 yard passing games for him on a routine basis or really ever. He's never thrown for 400 yards in the NFL, but can you win this way? It's an inconsistent answer to an unresolved question, Mike, that I don't think they're going to learn much more the final two games of the season. I could be wrong, but to me, I feel like the decision is probably whoever's going to be making it at Hallis Hall in a couple months has probably already been made on Justin Fields.
Yeah, well, the question will be who's making the decision. It starts there. Is it
Ryan Poles? We get one step closer to getting there, figuring out what happens on week 18.
Yeah, is it Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus? Is it Ryan Poles and somebody else? Is it a whole new deal altogether? I don't think that would be the answer in terms of a whole new deal altogether, because general managers usually get, you know, at least a second head coach. I don't know the answer here. My two biggest concerns when it comes to Justin Fields, one is an accuracy question, which has been there throughout his career. And the second one goes to actually your point a little bit of his usage. Mm-hmm. Because if you are a team that does want to use him running the ball, there needs to be a fine line there, because last year the way they used him was not sustainable.
Correct.
They were running him they were running him like they were running a running back. Well, we've all seen what happens to running backs in the NFL, right, wrong, or indifferent, which is they wear out pretty quickly. The injury rate is very high. You can't necessarily have that with a guy that's your franchise quarterback. It's the same problem that confronted Cam Newton in his career, and really, in a lot of ways, shortened the effectiveness of his career. It's the same questions that have surrounded Josh Allen over the last 2 or 3 years, and really early in his career when he was running the ball and taking the hits, mm-hmm. that he was. The difference with Lamar Jackson is Lamar Jackson is very adept at being able to avoid those big hits, of skirting out of bounds, of knowing where to position his body. Justin Fields was taking big hits a lot.
Too many.
That would be the biggest concern for me, along with the accuracy issues, when you're talking around building around Justin Fields and giving him a contract extension at some point, because that's part of this calculus and conversation too. Is he your long-term guy? If he is, then you go with it. If he's not, then you're moving on.
And I don't know if they're going to, you know, people are like, oh, well, he has two more games. He could change. It's a moment-to-moment league. He can change their minds. I don't know if he can, but two good performances down the stretch combined with what he's done coming back from that thumb injury, that only increases his trade stock if the Bears want to move on. And the only team I can think of right now that has an immediate need at quarterback, like, I mean, Washington you can throw in the mix, but like I think of the Atlanta Falcons, the team that you cover for ESPN.com. Like, there's all this fodder, and all it is fodder right now. Nobody has any sources that are telling them like anything concrete on this. Could you see a scenario next year or in the offseason, a couple months from now, where the Falcons trade for Justin Fields to upgrade what they currently have?
Could I see a scenario? Yeah, I can see a scenario. But here's the thing to think about here, Courtney. They had the opportunity to take Justin Fields, who is from just outside Atlanta, in the draft in 2021. They took Kyle Pitts instead of Justin Fields, even though they knew that Matt Ryan was coming toward the end of his career. They could have given Justin Fields the opportunity to learn under Matt Ryan so they could learn Justin Fields, and they passed on that. That mm-hmm. speaks volumes to me of maybe how the Falcons think about Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. And I have not had anybody say that to me, you know, just to be very clear. That's my observation. But I do remember what it was. And Arthur Smith's talking at about 95 to 100 minutes or so. And he'll get asked about Justin Fields, I'm sure. But go back in that game last year, Courtney, and how the Bears used him. I remember him saying this at the podium after, because we asked about Justin Fields and containing him. And they basically said, well, the Bears are using him almost like a running back.
And he got hurt in that game, and he got hurt in that game. Because it took a massive hit running towards the sideline.
Yeah, that to me says, you know, that's a question. It's a misnomer in an Arthur Smith mm-hmm. offense, because accuracy is a very key metric in an Arthur Smith offense. And we have seen that comes and goes with Justin Fields. Am I right, Courtney, or am I wrong there?
There's moments. There's definitely a lot to like about him. There's definitely a lot that remains a question. But we'll leave it here. There's plenty more to get to on this, which we will throughout the course of the week. But coming up next, the most unsportsmanlike moment of the day. It's ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
ESPN Radio, as you covered for bowl game action, tune in tonight for the Duke's Mayo Bowl, followed by the Tax Act Texas Bowl. Say that 10 times fast. Coverage beginning 5 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Courtney Cronin and Mike Rothstein here on Unsportsmanlike. I would say my most unsportsmanlike moment of the day is what's going to happen during that Duke's Mayo Bowl when they crown a winner, whether it's West Virginia, whether it's UNC. I hate mayonnaise. I have a taste aversion to it. I'm very squeamish when I see it just doused on the head coach or people dipping Oreos in it. I'm all for the edible trophy, like what we saw with the Pop-Tarts Bowl, Tony the Tiger Bowl with all the Frosted Flakes, etc., the Great Toastery Bowl, whatever. But the Duke's Mayo Bowl, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm not a mayo person, so I think I'd purposely lose the game if I played on one of the teams.
You're going to throw the game because you might get doused in mayo?
It's like the Indy 500. I would slow up heading towards the finish line because I don't like milk. I've never had a glass of milk as an adult, and I would be terrified if they made me throw
what?
That on my head.
You've never had milk?
I had it
do
as
you
a,
like
as
cheese? A, do you like other dairy-based products?
Yeah, but I will not drink a glass of milk.
Like, why?
Because I don't like it. As a kid, I would have it like, you know, in a toddler, like in a bottle or a sippy cup. But then my mom tried to get me to drink it when I was like four, after I was transitioning to, you know, like people cups, adult cups. And I just wouldn't drink it. Not chocolate milk, anything like that.
Wait, what's wrong with like a sippy cup as an adult? There's a coffee shop in LA.
I don't like milk. It's gross.
Well, I was moving to the sippy cup.
No, you're just not going to have strong bones when you grow up.
I'm fine. I'm 33 years old, and I am just fine. My calcium intake. You know where I get my calcium intake?
You say
intake?
That now. When you're
in
43, your bones will feel it.
In my Celsius. You know how much calcium's in here? 50 milligrams, Pat.
There's a lot of biotin,
of biotin.
You got 2,000% of your daily biotin now that
also
you've had two Celsii.
Also a lot of caffeine.
A lot of caffeine. All right. So I basically just like jumped the shark here and gave you my unsportsmanlike moment of the day. Mike, what's yours?
Mine is Pat. Pat was not a good sport when we did a karaoke sing-along about an hour ago, much to the chagrin of one Twitter user, whose name I will not mention, but he was not pleased with our singing. But Pat, you know, he was kind of a chicken.
I did the bop-bop-bops.
That doesn't count, because I did those too, and I don't give myself nearly as much credit as I probably deserve.
So my unsportsmanlike, that's my unsportsmanlike moment of the day, is that Pat just didn't want to be a team player.
Yeah, I get that. I think that Pat is contrarian by design here, and maybe one of these days we'll be able to trick him into doing something he doesn't want to do. I mean, you did throw Cam under the bus on that by putting it up as my tease, and I went Ron Burgundy on you because I only read what is on the Zoom screen for me to tease.
Yeah, that's also my unsportsmanlike moment, was the peer pressure that was forced upon me. I have another one, though, from earlier in the week. Okay. On Christmas, Courtney and Aaron Goldhammer were hosting a show that I was producing, and we did a Christmas songs draft, and Courtney's third pick was Saint Brick by Gucci Mane.
Yeah,
I thought that was a questionable decision.
I wanted
to bring it up now.
Let me just tell you, I didn't want anybody stealing my draft pick. You know,
yeah,
some
no one was
managers,
taking that.
Yeah, I think you were
me,
safe.
I
you were
think
fine
you were
there.
Safe there.
The
that
man has
like
an album.
The Hanukkah song.
And Aaron did. Aaron did draft
Aaron took the Hanukkah song
Adam
by
Sandler.
Adam Sandler. Yeah.
Good job, Aaron Goldhammer.
And he also took the Lonely Jew from South Park.
He went on brand for his religion because he doesn't celebrate Christmas. Yeah. Right? We made it a Christmas and a holiday.
He picked two Hanukkah songs and neither were Dreidel, Dreidel, Dreidel.
Because but he said he hates that song.
Dreidel, Dreidel, Dreidel is like a children's.
And he says he hears Hanukkah his children, song. His daughter Stella and all of her friends that are 5 years old singing it incessantly.
It must be ingrained in his head like the USC fight song gets ingrained in your head when you've covered a USC football game. Because once you hear it, it's just stuck in there. So I understand that. I'm totally there with Aaron. I mean, that's like akin to when I was hosting July 4th and we did like the top five, because over the summer we were doing top five American, like, or top five everything, like leading into the NFL season, but it was July 4th, so we changed it. We did top five American songs, and because I was coming off of like my Eurovision kick, all of my top five American songs were actually by British or Australian or Swedish artists.
About America.
Well, because like, that was the bit.
They're not like, it's not like a song that's about the United States that's sung.
No.
Recorded. Okay.
Right.
Got it, got
now,
it,
some of
it.
Them had like, people thought maybe they would be because they're played in like, it's like arena rock, some arena rock, got like it. Some AC/DC, they're not an American band, you know, for instance. So stuff like that. So
okay.
I get it.
I
like going off brand when we're talking about those drafts and lists. Maybe we can do one Thursday or Friday.
That's probably a no from him.
Vote
of confidence seemed very lacking there. Hey, Javonte, do you have one?
We lost, but Tom Gore said we're going to be okay. Don't panic, Pistons fan.
I like that Javonte said Pistons fan because it's down to one. It's down to Javonte.
I don't know. I heard a lot of fans there in Little Caesars Arena last night chanting to sell the team. Maybe at some point the peer pressure that we put on Cam this morning, they can do the same to Tom Gore.
Let's keep in mind
that is a disaster.
That Pat pegged Javonte in the head with a football, and that still wasn't his most unsportsmanlike moment. That's how bad the Pistons are.
I forgot
are.
It happened.
Yeah. He's already had memory loss from it.
Yeah, he got concussed from that football. There's going to be a workman's comp.
You're lucky. You probably forgot the singing, too.
No, we can do more of it tomorrow. Mike and I are back here on Sportsman Thursday and Friday.
There's not going to be a tomorrow.
Yes, there will be. There's always a tomorrow. And tomorrow is always going to be brighter than today. Straight ahead, Greeny with Mike Wells and Braden Gall right here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.